coming up on today's show, Tesla registers a huge batch of Model 3 VINs, more for Europe. EVs are in the spotlight at the Detroit 2019 Auto Show, and Ford are promising a big surprise, plus Nissan have a new concept for us to have a look at. Those stories and more if you keep listening today. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's the start of a new week, Monday the 14th of January 2019. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story today, and there's been plenty, by the way. And I've picked out the best ones for you to know about. Thank you, as always, to myev.com for helping make this show. It's a perfect place to go if you think 2019 is the place for you to, is the year for you to get into the EV market. Maybe you're selling your EV, moving onwards and upwards. Well, check out myev.com if you're simply learning about them just for now. A new patron of the show, a latest member of our Patreon family. Thank you so much, David Barkman. David, you're a legend. Thank you for joining up to be a producer supporting the show, and your note as well, which says that 2019 may well be the year that he and his wife change at least one of their cars over to be an EV. Congratulations on it when it finally happens. Let's start with Tesla then, and Tesla's registered a big batch of Model 3 VINs. According to Simon Alvarez at Teslarati, they have recently exhibited what could very well be the most encouraging signs of a Model 3 ramp to date. From Friday to Sunday, in a three-day period, Tesla registered a mammoth batch of 28,000 Model 3 VIN registrations. Over 20,000 of those for the international markets. So not specifically for Europe, by the way, because they have opened the configurator for places like Africa as well. I would think the majority of those, though, are going to go to EV-friendly countries first, like Norway, which has, you know, been a big supporter of Teslas over the years. The new registrations reported by Model 3 VINs tracking group on Twitter, at Model 3 VINs, and they track Tesla's filings for the electric sedan. The latest batch also complements the more than 15,000, I think, almost, Model 3 VINs registered last week. So 42,000 combined Model 3 VINs in the first 2 weeks. First 2 weeks of a new year. Just huge numbers. So there's no way really of converting VINs to weekly production, but if they're registering them, they're not going to do that, you know, a year ahead, for instance. So it's a good sign that production is there, particularly those international market numbers. Well, somewhere right now, there is the boat that is carrying the first batch of Model 3s to Europe, and the wisdom online, well, the wisdom on Twitter, however wisdomous Twitter is sometimes, it seems to be that they're pretty much all going to be for the Norwegian market. So if you're a Model 3 reservation holder listening to the podcast in Norway, you should have a smile on your face. It's going to be, the ship is currently heading south through the Panama Canal, then across the Atlantic. That's going to take, I think a couple of weeks, I think, is best estimates. But if anyone knows better than that about the Glovis captain, then let me know. Right, moving on to a really positive story about EVs. Last year, 361,000 electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles were sold in the US, just 2% of car purchases, but still a big number, according to InsideEVs.com. Tesla, which has struggled with its production ramp over the last 18 months, really getting there now. They've been saying in the New York Times today that with the 2019 Detroit Auto Show, the rest of the manufacturers that are following Tesla are going to throw their hat into the ring this week at the Detroit Auto Show. Dozens of fully electric cars and plug-in hybrids as well over the next 3 years are going to be released, and many of those are going to be talked about this week. Hyundai, Kia, Mini, Nissan, Audi, and many more displaying models in the US this year. It's a gambit based on the idea that many mainstream car owners will rush to make the leap from gasoline. But to sell all those cars, they have to attract a new class of customer, says the New York Times. As they take a particularly interesting look at the kind of people that have been buying EVs thus far and the kind of people that are going to make up the next wave of people buying electric cars. I kind of get what they're saying. I think a lot of those households that will get an EV this year may well be a household where one person in it is super EV pro and the other person's kind of neutral or agnostic. The example of my household, that being, I was banging on for ages about, let's replace our car with an EV. And it wasn't really until my wife test drove one, and it was quiet and quick and fast in the city, but silent and easy to drive, because she's never owned a manual car, stick shift, if you like. We've always had automatics for her, but she doesn't like, doesn't hate driving, but doesn't derive pleasure from driving. Driving for her is the thing to get her to where she's going. I would go on a drive on a Sunday afternoon you know, if I had a, I have had over the years many nice cars, and just go and experience driving. That's just not the way she's wired. And so that was the case of our household. Now, she is a raving fan of EVs. There's no question she would ever go back to a fossil car. So that's going to be the big opportunity this year, is more and more people get electric cars. And how's that dynamic going to play out? Really interesting thing to think about. I'm so excited to see how this year turns out. Moving on to Ford, and this is almost comical. Ford Motor Company is gearing up to launch new electric cars as soon as next year, they say. According to the CEO, his name is Jim Hackett, and he was telling CNBC on Sunday that Ford's previously announced its plans to be spending $11 billion on electric cars by 2022. They said they're going to make 40 of them, different models, hybrid and fully electric cars. They plan to revive the lagging business that is the Ford Motor Company. However, the company's chief told CNBC that customers should get ready for a big surprise. So he couldn't talk about the car, couldn't talk about the specs, couldn't show them anything. But if you're a fan of Ford, it's good to know that the CEO is planning a big surprise by the end of next year. As Tesla are... It's almost comical. As Tesla are making 7,000 plus Model 3s a week, ramping up to 10,000 a week. A week, by the way. I brush over that. It's a thing that you say until you stop and think about it. A week. And next week, another 7,000 to 10,000. And next week, another 7,000 to 10,000. All right, it's not going to be 10 for a few months, but you know what I'm saying with this. So... come on, Ford. I'm a big fan of Ford. I'm a big fan of fast Fords, by the way. As someone that would grow up in the 90s with posters of fast Fords on my bedroom wall, buying magazines because they have a fast Ford on the cover. Oh, come on. Do you know what I mean? I lusted after things like Ford Cosworths in the 90s. I'm a huge fan of Ford. I'd love to see them get EVs right, but I worry so much when all the CEO can do is talk about their forthcoming big surprise. Moving on to Nissan, another company today that I have been a big fan of over the years, but I'm starting to get a little bit worried about. The new Nissan Leaf has been met with an underwhelming response. You know, big battery, and it's all okay, but it's some people saying it's overpriced, and some people saying that it's kind of yesterday's technology inside it. I don't know. I've never owned the Nissan Leaf, and it's undoubtedly, it was a trailblazer. They almost made a market when there wasn't a market for EV. So you have to give Nissan all that credit. But now the Detroit Motor Show, Nissan has revealed a concept car. Designed as an all-electric elevated sports sedan, they say it will blend luxury saloon packaging, but with crossover styling. Ooh, says Auto Express. Powered by two electric motors, it's going to be all-wheel drive. It'll have 476 brake horsepower. It's going to have 115 kilowatt-hour battery. And Nissan says it'll run on magical fairy dust. That last bit was me. Because, of course, it's a concept. So, of course, you can say it's going to be anything that you want. Because then if you end up making the car in 3 years, you go, well, that was the concept. And we said it was going to have 115 kilowatt-hour pack. But actually, it's got a 45. Okay, I'm exaggerating there for effect. But do you know what I mean? It's like, come on, Nissan. Yeah, you were there. You were at the front all those years ago. You don't need to be making up stats on a photoshopped concept car. And you can do so much better with the talent you have in your company. They say to maximize interior space, they've had an idea. What they're going to do, they're going to tuck the drivetrain components under the chassis and have a flat battery. And that means, you know, you can have a flat cabin floor. Just like Teslas have been for the last 10 years. That's not a headline, Nissan. You can't be like, hey, we've worked out. You can have a flat floor in EVs. That's not a headline. Like I say, I'm a big fan of Nissan, but it's been a frustrating day to day. I'm like, that's not a headline. That's just like, that's normal, right? Anyway, back to the positivity. Audi is the next story today. As is often the case with concept cars, the Audi PB18 e-tron, which looks like a beast of a sports car, is gonna make the jump to series production, but there's a catch that must be highlighted. According to Auto Week Netherlands, Audi is planning just 50 of them to be made, according to Auto Evolution. Audi isn't the type of automaker that limits production to 50,000 maybe, but they're a big mainstream manufacturer. A wild-looking all-electric supercar is not something that is going to sell a ton of, but 50 is still a very low number. You may recall a previous Audi. Was that the R8 I'm going back a long time now. They made an all-electric version of it, I think for about $1 million, sold a handful and then closed the program down. This is going back a long time now. From a financial standpoint, imagine going to the bean counters, the accountants at Audi, to say, hey, we're making an all-electric supercar. And they're going to go, no, you're not putting that into production because it's not going to sell in big enough numbers that Audi needs. But then when you have Tesla's Roadster, which Elon Musk has talked about being a halo car, and what he means by that, by the way, is that the top speed has to have not only the top speed of any electric car, but any car on the road. A 0 to 60 time that's better than any, not electric car, but any car. And when you beat fossil cars on every metric, then it's truly a halo car. It's not just the best car on the roads. It just happens to be electric. But with Audi, see, Audi can have got the engineers to be doing this. But again, the specs on the PB18 e-tron don't quite match the Roadster with its three-motor setup. 95 kilowatt-hour battery, Audi is saying, for this fast charging. Yeah, well, the Roadster's got all of that and more. Again, Audi, you can do so, so much better. You have so many fans around the world, but it's tough for them. They're part of such a big corporate. It's the struggle that's going on with EVs at the moment. These big companies are now having to pivot way sooner than they wanted into electric cars. And imagine being the accountant at VW Group and Audi come along and say, we're going to make supercars that are electric. Tesla can do that with Elon Musk and the board's support. It's very, very tough if you're not Tesla. All right, moving on to two final stories. Seamless charging is a thing that is going to be a big topic in 2019, and I'm mega excited about where this goes this year. Two of North America's largest charging networks, Greenlots and ChargePoint, formed a roaming partnership recently to enable cross-charging both networks. If you're a member of either, you can use the other one, and you haven't got to set up a new account. Lin Zhuang Ku is the senior VP of Greenlots, and Lin said, this once fragmented industry is building momentum towards true driver interoperability thanks to adoption of standards like OCPI that are beneficial to drivers, automakers, grid operators, and charging infrastructure providers. What's particularly encouraging, that he says, about this positive trend is it's happening in advance of major policy changes or external forces, a sign that EV charging market is maturing in concert with surging customer demand. And that is brilliant. And then we need more of that. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about this in 2019. That's just the first of many, many more partnerships. And the holy grail, of course, is where you just turn up to any charger. You plug in your car. There's no card to wave, nothing to get out of your wallet. It just starts charging and it will bill you automatically. That is coming, maybe not in 2019, though. And finally, I know you love your EVs if you listen to this podcast, but a must-read website is Clean Technica. And a new article from Steve Hanley today is less about EVs and more about how we power them. S&P Global reports the cost of solar and battery backup has just dropped precipitously in 2018. In a few cases in the sunny southwest region of the US, several tenders for solar and storage came in at under $30 a megawatt hour last year. Standalone prices for installed battery storage based on a 20 megawatt hour system with 4 hours of storage, it dropped 40% from the previous year to $357 per kilowatt hour, expected to keep falling as well. Bloomberg New Energy Finance predicts a 52% reduction by 2030, and I think that is pretty pessimistic. Some Clean Technica readers have been wondering why the Kia and the Hyundai cars have really low production targets. Are they battery and cell constrained? You betcha. The clamour for battery cells to meet the energy storage demand may be part of the reason for those low numbers. It's not just batteries they're making for cars, but storage as well. Not just home storage, but grid level storage. A lot of good news to talk about today. This is the bit of the show next where you get to take over. It's our question of the week, thanks to myev.com, and it's this. How much should EVs reinvent the car, and how much should they conform to what's expected? Should they reinvent the car, or should they be like a normal car but just happen to be electric? Let me know your thoughts by emailing hello@evnewsdaily.com. You can use the comments of YouTube and Facebook and myev.com as well. Thank you to 160 patrons. Yeah, smashed it. 160 whose generosity gets this show on the air every day. And please do check out patreon.com. That's patreon.com/evnewsdaily if we can add your name to the list. Thank you very much to our premium partners, Phil Roberts at Electric Future, electricmotoring.net, and Brad Crosby. Thank you so, so much. There are 356 episodes online for free from where you get podcasts from. If you want to subscribe on any of those podcast platforms and the audio goes on YouTube, it means you get the show first and free and automatically before everybody else. Hang out on the socials with me by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.